Find your place. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We'll begin a series through the Psalms. I don't know how long we'll stay in the Psalms, but we could probably preach every Wednesday for 300 Wednesdays and still have not gotten to the end. But we're going to start there in Psalm 1. The Scripture says, God tells us, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I'd like us to focus in on these first two verses. God tells us, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I'd like us to first look at that little word, "but." It's an important word because the word here links these two verses together to where they're inseparable. We would like to read verse 1 and say, "Well, I've accomplished that. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the way of sinners. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. None of that's for me." And then God says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." And this is what God is in effect saying. If we are not a person who delights in the law of the Lord and does not meditate in his word in the day and in the night, then there is an undoubted truth. We somewhere in our life are walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. And with that in mind, God really allows us to begin to meditate upon these things. Because we can really begin to dive in and evaluate and examine our own lives. And so with that in mind, I want to start go up into that first verse, the word "blessed." The word "blessed" here in effect means happy. We've kind of taken the word "happy" in our day and twisted it and made it to be something that only happens when we're at an amusement park or at a basketball game or a football game. And not only that, our team wins. And any other emotion that we might have or any other thing that we do, if it's not doing something fun, then we can't, then we're not happy. We're just going through our regular day. There's no real happiness with us. But this is not at all what God intended happiness to be. He did not intend happiness to be something that was fleeting, that happened only every once in a while, that only happened after all the responsibilities are done. God intended the happiness that He's speaking of here to be a perpetual thing, something that we're able to have in our lives moment by moment and day by day and hour by hour. And so we have to evaluate what He means by this idea of happiness. It is something I believe God is trying to use here in the idea of it being something that's not just happens every once in a while, but is something that's sure and foundational. Something that is part of who we are and not something that happens to us. You know, the idea of happiness really is that we're reacting to something that happens. But the idea here is that we're not waiting to react to something. We are living in the midst of it, and we're living with the understanding that God is with us. This is what happiness is. It's not that, well, you know, I'm working all this week and then I've got a few days off and I can be happy then. But we can have a happiness or a blessedness that goes through every day of our life. And the truth is, as soon as we begin with that word, it becomes something that is, at least for me, abiding thing. Something that is like a sword, a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder, because so much of what I think of my life and being happy has to do with something that, an event that is either coming up or is happening now that makes me happy. I'm made happy. If I get to eat a good meal, I'm made happy. This is not at all what God is saying here. He's not saying you're made happy. He's saying you are, and there's a big difference. And so God wants us to be a people who are happy, not in the sense that we're doing cartwheels and that we're even smiling, but that we are grounded in our life to where our life is not a roller coaster of emotion. But it becomes a much more steady stream that we're in our lives. And God tells us what that means. It has nothing to do with when our vacation comes or who we're going to eat dinner with or if our friend likes us this week and doesn't like us next week. It all has to do with our relationship with God, which, by the way, is always steady on His end. His relationship with us does not change. Our relationship with Him does, but His does not change. And that's why He begins with this word blessed. God wants us to be a people who are blessed, not just in the sense that God does good things for us, but that God is with us all the time. Amen. And so He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Just a reminder, that word man is gender neutral. God did not have to put blessed is the man and or woman, man slash woman. He means people. And the only reason I say that is because of the crazy things that people think when you use that word man. And I even read articles and people get upset when people use that word. But it has nothing to do with being. What's that? It has nothing to do with being male, and it has nothing to do with thinking that males are superior to females. But men and women that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word walketh here has to do with going or traversing. To go along a path, a way. And so he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word here for counsel means advice or purpose or advisement. But the idea here that God is really trying to get across is that we are a people, if we are going to be blessed, we are not living according to the purpose of myself or another person, but living according to the way and the purpose of God. His counsel, the counsel of the ungodly, by the way, can we ever place ourselves in the ungodly? Have you ever thought about that? Can I place myself in the ungodly? I can. There's no doubt about it. Anytime my mind and my way and my counsel strays, and even if it's for my own self, strays from God, guess what it is? It is ungodly. The word ungodly means hostile or against God. And if God has one thing or one way that he, object that he has for me, and I have another, and I choose the other, am I being ungodly? Am I hostile to the way of God? Yes. And I'm against the way of God. And so God is saying, listen, understand here. Many of us have read this verse 1 of the book of Psalm maybe 1,000 times. Probably it is one of the most read and preached on Psalms. But the idea here is that there is an ungodliness, someone being against God, and that ungodliness leads to a purpose. Whether it's whether that purpose is I'm the ungodly and therefore I have an ungodly purpose, or it's someone else. There is a way that if we are walking in that way that's against God, that counsel that's against God, how can we be blessed? We will in fact just be waiting for the next event in our life that we can have some kind of physical pleasure in. Whether it's with our taste, our hearing, our physical things, or what we see, we're just waiting for the next thing. Then he goes on to say, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The word standeth here means, in effect, to take a stand. And God is going progressively forward in what we're doing. In one way, in the beginning, in walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, we have the idea of going along and traversing on a way. That we're not like a butterfly fluttering all over the place, but we're just going. Here we are now taking a stand. We are erect, we are in a position of being unmoving, or to hold our ground. God is saying here, now, not just walking, but now you're standing. You've staked your claim in the manner or the habit of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. The idea again here is that you're in a place and you're unmovable. And the course of your life, the way in which you're going is unaffected by the Word of God. And this is a more dangerous place to be in the court, that your course of life is now firm. And the truth is that any one of us in any particular area of our life, if we're not careful, we can become adamant to where we can hear a message against what we're doing. And we say, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. We can even be pierced and we say, it doesn't matter. I hear the word of God, but I don't care. I am going to do what I want to do. I am adamant. I am standing my ground. And then he moves on to this next area. And nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That word sitteth, in effect, means to think of it as having your own lazy boy. Right? How many of you guys have your own chair? That's where you sit, right? You know, that's where you sit. Sure, I do. Because it's my house. You know, that's my chair and this is my house, right? And if we have a guest over or guests and they sit in my chair, I'm not going to yell at them. But But, you know, if I'm coming home and it's time for me to sit down and one of the kids are in my chair, you know, that's my chair. The idea here of sitting is not just a chair in the fellowship hall. The idea here is the ownership of a chair that you live in. This is your dwelling place. This is where you abide. This is where you live. That's what the idea of sitting here is. The idea of sitting is not going to a movie theater and sitting there for a little while and getting up, or going to a ball game and sitting there and getting up. But this is my chair where I live, and therefore I'm going to stay here. This is where I live. Well, that's fine and good when we're talking about living in our own home, but what is he talking about here? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Again, that word seat is that comes from the same root, the idea of having a dwelling place. In the book of Revelation, it speaks about the seat of Satan, where he dwells. And where are you sitting now? You're sitting in the seat of the scornful or an arrogant talker. That's what the word scornful means, to be arrogant against. To be arrogant against, to be puffed up against some other thought. And so God is saying here, there is now a progression to where we are living in a place that we're not just adamant about, but it's who we are. And not only that, but now out of our mouth comes those things. You know, before it was just, you know, maybe God was trying to push you in a way or prod you or exhort you in a certain direction. But you said, I'm not moving. But now God, when he speaks, not only are you unmoving, you're sitting and you're speaking against him. On Sunday we talked about becoming an enemy. One of the reasons why we ought to come to church is so that we have a protection against becoming an enemy. And it's not that we can lose our salvation, but we can become so jaded by being in the world that we can even begin to speak against. And I've seen this happen where a person is away from the Lord, and you go and visit them after a little while, and they begin to say things literally against God and against his people. You know, why do you do this? And the way you do this is so stupid, and it's in the end, it's that you have now found a place where your delight is in the things of the world, in the way of the world. And so, what is our life instead? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. My pleasure and my longing is the law of the Lord. Is the word of God. Is the being with God and knowing his way in his thoughts. You see, when we are with God, the things that he reveals to us, though they may be stinging at points, they're delightful because they change us and allow us to become more like him. The sitting in the seat of the scornful, there's one thing that you know, they've become less like him. The word meditate means to muse. You know, the word meditate doesn't just mean to think about in the sense that your mind is on it, but it literally means to imagine or devise. When we meditate on God's word, he's able to take his word and begin to put flesh to the bones. He can take what is a general principle and make an application for you. And that's what meditation does. It leads us to begin to muse upon what the Word of God says, imagine what could be, and devise ways in which we can get there. God does that. When we begin to meditate on His Word and pray through what His Word says, He begins to put things in our minds that are truly astounding. And by the way, when God begins to do this, attempt great things for Him. Amen. Don't say, that can't be done. Why in the world did God use that scripture to bring that to your mind? Now, it may not be that you say, well, tomorrow I'm going to do such and such a thing, but you begin to devise how you might get to that place. We don't have time, but I will tell you this. The first thing that anything that God puts upon your mind you ought to do is begin to pray. And pray and pray. And then begin to say, what does God want me to do to be prepared to do such a thing? I've had folks have grand ideas, and I praise the Lord for them. But they are not willing to put the preparation in to get to the place where they can do it successfully. By the way, if you try things without being prepared God's way, then you are going to eventually fail. There is always a work of preparation that goes into anything that God intends for us to do. There's a training that's involved. God wants us to be trained. But God wants us to meditate in His Word day and night and delight in it. By the way, God begins to show you how to do certain things or what to do or great things that you can do for Him. You know what you're going to start doing? Delighting. You're going to be like, man, this is good. Not just because I know what it means, but because I know what God means for me in it. There's a great delight in knowing what a scripture means. There is a wonderful and incredible delight when He begins to put flesh to it. And I want you to know God can do that for every single one of us in this room. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that God has great things for us. And so I'd plead with you, if you're walking, standing, or sitting, go the other way. Be willing to be moved and get up out of that lazy boy chair and get out of that house, because that house doesn't really belong to you, and begin to delight in His Word. And by the way, I believe with anything, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think we can get out of a chair and move ourselves out of a place in a moment. And God knows. And He can begin that very first time we begin to delight ourselves in His Word. The very first time we begin to meditate in His Scripture. The very first time we begin to muse and devise and think on. God can begin to move in our lives again. God can begin to move in our lives again. By the way, I'll be honest with you. I've had to do that many times in my life. There is no doubt in my mind that there have been times that I was walking in the way of in the counsel of the ungodly. Even my own ungodly counsel. And I have had to say, you know what, I'm not going to walk that way anymore. And there have been times, periods, where it doesn't seem like God is speaking. No matter how much I muse, God might be saying, and He has said to me, why don't you stop walking that way? And as soon as I do, it's remarkable what God begins to do again. By the way, I hope that doesn't surprise you that the pastor would have that happen to them. You should only be surprised if it doesn't happen to you. That's the only way you shouldn't be surprised. But if that's the case, let's talk, because I like to get together. But anyway, God bless you, brethren. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that we'd be a blessed people, happy in You and not just in the events of life. I thank You for the wonderful things that You allow us to do, the relationships You give us, the pleasures that You allow us to have, whether it's sledding with the children, or when the littlest ones say something cute, or being able to eat a good meal that we really like the taste of, or being able to do so many different things. I thank you for all those things, but I pray that that wouldn't be the extent of our happiness. So please guide us and help us in these things. Watch over us now. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.